Good morning and welcome to the West Valley News Digest. Today is Saturday, January 3rd, 2026. Happy New Year. I'm Karen Kelly, your volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'll be starting out with news from the West Valley View, which covers Buckeye, Avondale, Goodyear, and Tolleson. I'll then be reading from the Wickenburg Sun, and at the bottom of the hour, we'll be covering news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise. So let's get started with news from westvalleyview.com. Our first article is Treasures for Teachers Eases Out-of-Pocket Burden, written by Samantha Rhea, West Valley View staff writer. As Arizona teachers continue to spend hundreds of dollars out of pocket to stock their classrooms, Treasures for Teachers is working to ease that burden by providing affordable and free supplies. Educators spent an average of $864 of their own money on classroom materials during the 2024-25 school year, according to a survey by AdoptAClassroom.org, more than four times the median $200 supply budget provided by schools nationwide. What began 20 years ago with one woman, a garage, and a few companies' surplus supplies has now grown into a statewide operation benefiting thousands of teachers every year. Through its Resource Center and T4T on Wheels program, Treasures for Teachers distributes donated and repurposed classroom supplies to Arizona's educators at steeply discounted prices or for free. The organization's mission is multi-tiered, aiming to empower students, enrich educators, and eliminate waste. For us, it's all about the creative experience in the classroom, but also having the tools to actually participate in learning, said Joy Klein, Treasures for Teachers Executive Director. So it's self-confidence. It's knowing I have what I need and I'm ready to learn. That preparation right then and there for them, I think, is the key. At the Treasures for Teachers Resource Center in Tempe, educators can find everything for their classrooms, from basic stationery supplies to books, furniture, and creative materials. On top of being a one-stop shop, it's all sold at a steep discount. A box of pencils, for example, can be purchased for 75 cents at the T4T Resource Center compared to $1.50 at Walmart. At the Resource Center, shoppers will also find a free zone and a $5 fill-a-bucket section. In the free zone, shoppers will find materials for projects and organization, such as toilet paper rolls, tissue boxes, binders, and posters. In the fill-a-bucket zone, shoppers will find items such as craft supplies, books, and basic office supplies. For $5, shoppers fill a 3-gallon bucket with as many eligible items as they can. An added benefit for teachers is the availability of materials year-round. A lot of those school supply aisles are huge in the summer, and then they go away. We're here all year round, so that's what I think our teachers appreciate the most, Klein said. Maybe I can't compete with those deals when Target is selling a crayon box for 25 cents, but that's for literally a month that they have those available, and then they're gone, Klein said. To shop at the T4T Resource Center, educators and community members will need an active membership or a day pass. Educator memberships are $35 per year. Community memberships are $45 per year, or a day pass is $10 per day. Each membership or pass includes access to the $5 fill-a-bucket and free zones, free weekly giveaways, and 10% off Treasure Box Thrift, the organization's nonprofit thrift store. Educator memberships extend beyond traditional classroom teachers to include homeschool educators, preschool and early childhood teachers, parent-teacher association leaders, before and after-school programs, and youth-serving nonprofits such as the Boys and Girls Club and YMCA. Aware of the fact that many teachers are unable to make it to the Resource Center, the organization offers T4T on Wheels. Through its mobile program, Treasures for Teachers visit schools to distribute free supplies and connect educators with available resources. Interested educators can visit the Treasures for Teachers website to request a visit from T4T on Wheels. To help fund its programs, Treasures for Teachers operates Treasure Box Thrift, a nonprofit thrift store open to the public. Proceeds from the store help keep the organization's resource center and mobile program stocked year-round. A large part of Treasures for Teachers' work promotes reuse and sustainability, such as the toilet paper rolls and tissue boxes available in the Resources Center's free zone, or the plastic organization bins donated by a retired teacher that otherwise might have gone to a landfill. The nonprofit recently hosted events where participants transformed old violins into canvases, vinyl records into bowls, and old circuit boards into earrings, necklaces, and holiday ornaments. Furthering its reuse initiative, next door to Treasure Box Thrift and the Resource Center is Treasures for Teachers' new partnership with AZSTRUT, Students Recycling Used Technology. AZSTRUT accepts donations of old technology and refurbishes them to be sold at a discounted price. Although Treasures for Teachers keeps very limited technology in its thrift store and resource center, Klein notes that this is a positive partnership and said she often directs people to their retail space next door. So someone could drop off old laptops and things like that with AZSTRUT and then drop off craft items that they no longer need with us, Klein said. So it's kind of a nice little one stop right now at our location. To inspire educators in their repurposing, Treasures for Teachers maintains a Pinterest page full of classroom crafts and activities. On average, teachers shop for their classrooms 3 to 4 times per calendar year, or about once per season, Klein said. Common purchases include basic supplies such as pencils, crayons, dry erase markers, and reams of paper. Klein said paper budgets are the most drastically cut supplies category at many schools, which has led teachers to frequently restock paper throughout the year. She noted that especially in younger grades, paper is essential for writing practice and fine motor skill development, making it a recurring need that teachers often must replace multiple times a year. Beyond basic supplies, teachers often pay out-of-pocket for items the public might not expect, including filing cabinets and hands-on learning materials such as simple motors or small beakers for STEM lessons. Klein said May is the organization's busiest month as teachers leave the profession or change grades or classrooms, making it one of the best times for educators to shop. When teachers can stock their classrooms with the materials they need without stretching their own budgets, the effects ripple beyond classroom shelves. Students gain self-confidence and feel ready to learn when their classrooms are stocked with the materials they need, Klein explained. It's like trying to play a sport when you don't have the ball, Klein said. I can't play imaginary football if I don't have an actual football or basketball or baseball. And so that's the way we look at school supplies. She noted that even if households are given lists of supplies to bring for their students, not all families can fulfill them. So then we know the teacher's the one who always fills in the gaps, Klein said, because they want that student to feel like they have the tools to learn. With Treasure for Teachers discounted supplies, teachers can fill those gaps in their classrooms without creating gaps in their wallets. Access to these resources supports both student learning and teachers' mental, emotional, and financial well-being, Klein emphasized. Teaching is already mentally and emotionally demanding, and having to spend their own money on classroom materials on top of that can stretch teachers thin. By providing affordable supplies, Treasures for Teachers helps teachers keep a little more money for themselves, easing the financial burden and giving them the flexibility to invest in their own well-being and personal needs while staying focused on their classrooms. Our teachers are givers, Klein said. They are immensely focused on how they can give. So for me, if I can save them some dollars, I'm hoping they can reinvest that back into their health and well-being, or the families that they are currently living with, and even just their future. Something as simple as just being able to have that flexibility in their own spending, I think, makes a big difference. Members of the public can donate to both the Treasures for Teachers Resource Center and Treasure Box Thrift at the organization's Tempe location. Local businesses are encouraged to donate excess supplies rather than discard them. And this concludes the article, Treasures for Teachers Eases Out-of-Pocket Burden. Next up, Hampton named as Goodyear Vice Mayor, written by West Valley View staff. At its December 15th meeting, the Goodyear City Council appointed longtime council member Brannon Hampton as the city's next vice mayor, which will go into effect on January 1, 2026. Council member Hampton was first elected to a four-year term in 2017 and was reelected to serve a second four-year term in 2022. It is an honor to serve the people of Goodyear as vice mayor for the second time, said council member Hampton. I am committed to supporting Mayor Pizzolia and continuing the important work of our city council to enhance the community. I want to extend my sincere gratitude to outgoing Vice Mayor Wally Campbell for her dedication and leadership throughout her term. Prior to serving on council, Councilmember Hampton was an active member of the 2015 Goodyear General Plan Committee and graduated from the Goodyear Citizens Academy in 2016. Those experiences helped shape his priorities as a member of council, including managing the city's growth effectively and efficiently, increasing economic development, and maintaining a conservative, balanced budget without compromising Goodyear's quality of life. He has served on several national, regional, and state boards and committees, including as a board member of the Arizona Small Business Association, a representative on the Maricopa Association of Governments, MAG, Economic Development Committee, and a member of the National League of Cities Community and Economic Development Federal Advocacy Committee. Councilmember Hampton holds a Master of Business Administration, MBA, with an emphasis on leadership from Grand Canyon University. He also earned a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration, an Associate Degree in Mechanical Maintenance Engineering, a Master's Certification in Business Improvement, and the Project Management Professional, PMP, certification. He also serves the community in the private sector as a local financial advisor with Edward Jones. He lives in South Goodyear with his three children. The role of vice mayor on the Goodyear City Council is a one-year term. And this concludes the article, Hampton named as Goodyear Vice Mayor. Our next article, Buckeye Days Parade Seeks Participants, article by Joshua Fenty. The Buckeye Days Parade, signature event of downtown Buckeye, is in the process of accepting applications for participation in this year's march. According to Recreation Superintendent Kim Anderson, the parade has gathered 20 participants so far, and they are excited to welcome many more. We're open to anybody who is looking to promote what they do that benefits the city of Buckeye, Anderson said. We usually get just over 30 applicants, and we're hoping to get maybe a little bit closer to 40 entries this year. We're happy to talk to anybody who has any questions or concerns about participating. Many of those 20 applicants, the recreation superintendent added, are repeat participants who have appeared in the parade for many years. We really thank our organizations that keep showing up year after year, she said. They're really the heart and soul of why we do this. Through Saturday, January 17, interested local organizations, businesses, clubs, and youth groups can apply to participate in the Buckeye Days Parade. The application process is free and can be found at buckeyeaz.gov. As part of the parade, the Buckeye Equestrian and Events Center will feature various cattle and cowfolk. Additionally, Anderson said that Stott's Equipment provides the tractors seen in the parade, along with various organizations that lend vintage cars as well, including the shuttle that carries the Grand Marshal. Buckeye resident and American Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Committee Chair Sherry Saylor has been selected as the Grand Marshal for the Buckeye Days Parade. Saylor has served on the Women's Leadership Committee since 1990 and has represented the organization on the American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture's Board of Directors since 2012. In addition to her longtime involvement in agriculture, the Grand Marshal served as a guidance counselor at Buckeye Elementary School for 40 years. Following the parade, attendees are invited to the Buckeye Valley Museum to learn more about how the city came to be and developed over the years. The museum is also hosting a chuck wagon cookout, which Anderson said is in keeping with the vintage theme of the parade. We really encourage people to come to the museum to learn more about Buckeye's history, Anderson said. We have a very rich farming history, and you still see a lot of farming in Buckeye. The Recreations Department has also partnered with Dr. Buck Productions to put on a Wild West show following the parade, beginning around 10:30 a.m. and concluding at 2 p.m. Along with the Old West-themed live entertainment, there will also be a pie-eating competition. Anderson said that the city is offering shuttle transportation to and from the events, and the businesses in downtown Buckeye will be open during the festivities. The Buckeye Days Parade celebrates the city's history and agricultural roots, but also serves to excite residents for Buckeye's future. As the event date approaches and Buckeye's local businesses and organizations continue to submit applications, Anderson said the parade is sure to be exciting, engaging, and historical. We're here to promote all of the amazing organizations and businesses that are in Buckeye and to let our residents know they exist and that they've been here for a long time, she said. We hope that the parade is a fun way to enhance that to our community. Again, this will be the Buckeye Days Parade, taking place Saturday, January 24th, 9:30 a.m. The cost is free admission. And for information to apply to participate in the parade by Saturday, January 17th, go to buckeyeaz.gov. And this concludes the article entitled Buckeye Days Parade Seeks Participants. This concludes news from westvalleyview.com. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info and audio/on demand. Now let's move on to news from the Wickenburg Sun. Our first article is entitled Classic Albums Live to Perform the Beatles, article by Stephanie Fornoff. The Webb Center is delighted that the acclaimed classic rock ensemble Classic Albums Live will return to Wickenburg for their seventh appearance. The nine musicians will perform the entirety of the Beatles' final studio album, Abbey Road, on Saturday, February 7th at 7:30 p.m. This is a rare chance for fans to experience rock history recreated live, note for note and cut for cut, in an evening that promises nostalgia, musical devotion, and an unforgettable concert experience. The event will feature beloved songs from Abbey Road, including Here Comes the Sun, Something, and Come Together, followed by many of the Fab Four's greatest hits. Every harmony, guitar layer, and arrangement is replicated with exceptional musicianship and attention to detail. Since Classic Albums Live's founding in 2003, it has built an international reputation by assembling world-class studio musicians and vocalists whose mission is to honor legendary rock albums through exact and faithful recreations. The group does not use costumes, characters, or impersonations. Instead, they focus entirely on sound accuracy so that audiences can experience the music exactly as it was recorded. For fans of the original album, this concert captures a defining moment in musical history with the texture, clarity, and emotional impact of the classic Beatles recording. This special evening also serves as an important fundraising concert for the Webb Center. A portion of every ticket sold directly supports the organization's programming, including live performances, arts education, and community engagement. In conjunction, the not-for-profit will be hosting an online auction February 1st through 9th, with over 100 items up for bid to raise additional funds. Look for details about registration and bidding on the theater's website and social channels in the coming weeks. Classic Albums Live concert tickets are available now for $69. This performance is expected to sell out quickly, so early reservations are strongly encouraged. Tickets may be purchased online at webcenter.org or by phone at 928-684-6624 or in person at the Webb Center box office. And this concludes the article, Classic Albums Live to Perform the Beatles. Our next article is Burn First Aid, a guide from the Hospital Emergency Department. Burns are among the most painful injuries we treat in the emergency department. They happen in an instant. A splash of boiling water, a slip with a curling iron, or an accidental touch of a hot stove. While panic is a natural reaction, knowing exactly what to do in those first few minutes can significantly reduce pain, prevent infection, and improve healing. Here is a simple step-by-step guide on how to handle burn injuries at home and when you need to seek professional care. Immediate first aid steps. If you or a loved one suffers a burn, safety is the priority. Once you are away from the source of the heat, follow these steps immediately. 1. Cool the burn. The most critical step is to stop the burning process. Run cool, not cold, tap water over the burn for 10 to 20 minutes. Do's. Use cool running water or a cool compress. Don'ts. Don't use ice. Ice can restrict blood flow and damage the delicate tissue further. 2, remove constricting items. Burns often cause swelling very quickly. Gently remove any jewelry, watches, or tight clothing near the affected area before the skin begins to swell. If clothing is stuck to the burn, do not pull it off. Leave it alone and seek medical help. 3, cover the injury. Once the burn has cooled, cover it loosely with a sterile non-stick bandage or clean cloth. Keep the area clean and protected. Do not apply butter, oil, toothpaste, or egg whites. These home remedies can trap heat, increase the risk of infection, and make it harder for medical professionals to treat the wound later. 4, manage pain. Over-the-counter pain relievers like ibuprofen or acetaminophen can help manage the pain. Follow the dosage instructions on the bottle. Assessing the severity, when to come in. Not all burns require a trip to the ER, but it is vital to know the difference between a minor injury and a serious one. First-degree burns. These involve only the top layer of skin, like a mild sunburn. They are red, painful, and dry, but typically heal on their own within a week. Second-degree burns. These go deeper. The skin will look red, blistered, and may be swollen. If the burn is smaller than 3 inches, you can often treat it at home. However, if it is on the face, hands, feet, groin, or over a major joint, please come see us. Third-degree burns. These are severe injuries where the skin may appear white, charred, or leathery. Surprisingly, the area might be numb due to nerve damage. Call 911 or go to the emergency department immediately. A note on blisters. If blisters form, do not pop them. The blister acts as a natural biological dressing, protecting the raw skin underneath from bacteria. If a blister breaks on its own, wash the area gently with mild soap and water, apply an antibiotic ointment, and cover it with a bandage. By staying calm and following these simple protocols, you can effectively manage most minor burns at home. However, our emergency department team is always here 24/7 if you are unsure or in pain. It is always better to be safe and get checked out. And this concludes the article, Burn First Aid, a guide from the Hospital Emergency Department. Next up, obituaries. Sandra Steffi Lobeck passed away December 12. Jeffrey Campbell passed away December 11. Donna Freeman passed away December 13. Timothy S. Huff passed away December 13. Next up, this week in Wickenburg history. 90 years ago, December 27, 1935, petition for new Haciempa Bridge. Construction of a bridge over the Haciempa near the north end of the White Tank Mountains to establish a connecting link in the Boulder Dam and Kingman Highway via Aguilla, Alamo, and Yucca was urged in a petition filed with the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors yesterday. The petition said completion of the route would make it the shortest highway from Maricopa County to all northwestern cities. 80 years ago, December 28, 1945, Gerbers starts building 5 ranch houses. Construction work is getting well underway on 5 new 2-bedroom ranch house type homes that E.J. Gerber Sr. and Jr. are erecting on a 39-acre tract of land along the Prescott Highway, just a few miles north of town. The land on which the Gerber homes are being built was purchased from Lewis C. White of Monte Vista Ranch. It has a 3,300-foot frontage on the highway. A new road has been constructed from the highway to the building site. 50 years ago, January 1, 1976, car pollution check begins in January. Wickenburg's Vehicle Emission Inspection Station Supervisor, George Garrison, expects to check anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 vehicles every month, starting in January. Garrison said the figure is based on the amount of tests we did during the free inspection period this month, an average of 52 per day. Beginning this new year, vehicle owners in Maricopa County are required to put their cars through a vehicle emission test before they will be issued new licenses. Wickenburg's testing station is 1 of 8 in the country. The cost of the inspection is $5, which at the present time is computed into the registration bill and paid to the county assessor's office. It is not mandatory in 1976 that a vehicle pass the inspection. It is mandatory that all vehicles undergo the inspection, however. And that concludes news from the Wickenburg Sun. Remember, you can take Sun Sounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. I'm Karen Kelly, and you're listening to the West Valley News Digest on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today is Saturday, January 3rd. For the remaining time, I will be reading news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise from yourvalley.net and the online editions of the Glendale, Peoria, Surprise Independence, as well as the Glendale Star and the Peoria Times. So let's continue. Our next article is Where to Take Christmas Trees in Glendale for Recycling. The holiday feasts are gone and the gifts are open. It's now time to think about disposing of live Christmas trees in Glendale. The city provides convenient drop-off locations where residents may bring their trees to be recycled. Residents can bring their live Christmas trees to the following sites through tomorrow, Sunday, January 4th. Acoma Park, 5251 West Acoma Drive. Foothills Park, 5708 West Union Hills Drive. O'Neill Park, 6448 West Missouri Avenue. Rose Lane Park, 5003 West Marlette Avenue. Fire Station Number 156, located at 6801 West Deer Valley Road. Heroes Regional Park, 83rd Avenue and Bethany Home Road, as well as the Sorrel Ranch Park at 9802 North 59th Avenue. Most locations are open for drop-offs from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily, but hours vary by site. Residents should check the specific park or facility's hours to ensure access is available. Visit https://www.glendaleaz.gov/home. Residents also have the option of leaving their live holiday trees outside to be picked up during Glendale's regular monthly bulk trash collection scheduled for their area. Anyone who wants to have their live tree recycled must remove ornaments, tinsel, lights, stands, and any other items from them first. Artificial trees will not be accepted at the sites listed, but may be put out with bulk trash in residents' neighborhoods. Glendale demonstrates its commitment to sustainability with the trees, which are taken to a composting facility to be processed and composted into usable mulch and soil products. And this concludes the article, Where to Take Christmas Trees in Glendale for Recycling. Our next article is Peoria Offers Nonprofit Workshop. Are you thinking about starting a nonprofit or improving one you already run? Nonprofit 101 is a free, practical workshop designed to help mission-driven founders build with clarity, confidence, and direction. City of Peoria Grant Program Manager Janine Gaskins and local nonprofit leader Kimberly Muhammad, founder of Zuri's Circle, will guide you through what it really takes to launch and sustain a successful organization. Nonprofit 101, Launching and Leading a Mission-Driven Organization, will happen 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, January 14th at Rio Vista Recreation Center, 8866 West Thunderbird Road. Topics include formation and governance, effective day-to-day operations, small fundraising strategies, engaging boards and volunteers, Arizona Corporation Commission basics, and more, plus networking with fellow changemakers. And this concludes the article, Peoria Offers Nonprofit Workshop. Our next article, Sonoran Sounds Women's Chorale of the West Valley Seeks New Members. Sonoran Sounds Women's Chorale of the West Valley is looking for new members. If you love to sing and have previous choir experience, the group wants you to join their group. There are openings in all voice ranges. The group is an established choir that has been entertaining in the West Valley since 2003. The current director, Caitlin Hudson, also directs the Westeros. Westerners. If interested, feel free to join the group at their first rehearsal of the new year, 9 a.m. January 5th at Sun City West Christian Church, located at 20803 North 151st Avenue, Sun City West. For more information, go to SonoranSounds.org. And this concludes the article, Sonoran Sounds Women's Chorale of the West Valley Seeks New Members. Our next article is, It's Last Week to Enter Challenge for Surprise MLK Event, by Independent News Media. Participants of Surprise's annual hashtag Surprise Celebrates MLK Challenge can submit their stories of service at surprise.az.gov/MLK Challenge by Wednesday to be eligible to be part of the Martin Luther King Jr. celebration next month. Based on King's words, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. The challenge encourages participants to share photos, videos, or creative expressions that answer the question, how do you serve? The challenge leads up to the 10th annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Celebration and Service, which will be held on Saturday, January 17. To be part of the challenge, service can include volunteering at a local nonprofit, participating in a surprise day of service event, helping a neighbor with daily tasks, delivering a meal to someone in need, or any act that brings kindness and support to the community. Contact Kara Poling at Kara, K-A-R-A, dot Poling, P-O-L-I-N-G, at surprise.az.gov, or call area code 623-222-1647. And this concludes the article, It's Last Week to Enter Challenge for Surprise MLK Event. Let's continue. Our next article is Open House Set for Highly Rated Surprise School by Independent News Media. One of the top-ranked kindergarten through 8th grade schools in Arizona is inviting prospective parents and students to an open house in January. A-rated Freedom Traditional Academy will welcome the community at 5:30 p.m. on Thursday, January 22nd on the school campus at 16066 North Parkview Place. Prospective families will be able to choose from a variety of informational sessions, including Q&As with the principal and a student-parent panel, as well as sessions on student activities, STEM, gifted programs, curriculum details, acceleration options, and arts and special area classes. Freedom Traditional is a tuition-free school that ranks third in the state for English language arts and fourth for math proficiency among 1,359 K-8 schools in the state, according to the recently released state accountability labels. The school also touts the highest test scores among any other schools in Surprise and El Mirage for the fourth year in a row. Freedom offers a highly performing academic program that features accelerated options, Saxon, math, Spalding reading, and Spanish at all grade levels. Freedom focuses on civic values and patriotism in a traditional, structured atmosphere. Arts, athletics, and extracurricular activities are also offered. Families are encouraged to RSVP. Visit dysart.org/freedom. And this concludes the article, Open House Set for Highly Rated Surprise School. Our next article, Surprise Schools Group Partnering with Microsoft by Independent News Media. Dysart Community Center announced a partnership with Microsoft's Data Center Community Affairs team to launch an innovative, culturally responsive STEAM program. This initiative will serve children ages 5 to 18 across Surprise, El Mirage, Goodyear, Glendale, Whitman, Avondale, and Peoria. It will offer hands-on experiences, experiences in coding, robotics, digital storytelling, and AI literacy. This partnership reflects our deep commitment to equity and innovation, said Annie Ansel, CEO of Dysart Community Center. By working with Microsoft, we are ensuring that every child, regardless of background, has access to transformative learning opportunities that prepare them for success in a rapidly changing world. Ansel said Microsoft's support will help bridge the digital divide, expand after-school and summer programs, and prepare students for future careers in technology. Community members are invited to celebrate the milestone by volunteering, donating, or sharing the news to help empower the next generation of learners. And this concludes the article, Surprise Schools Group Partnering with Microsoft. Our next article is Arizona Moves Toward Challenging Budget Cycle, written by Joshua Fenty, Glendale Star staff writer. The city of Glendale recently reviewed its state and federal legislative agenda for 2026. Presented by Director of Intergovernmental Programs, Gina Carrico, the proposed agenda details the legislative trends and climate and how those factors impact Glendale. For the coming year, Carrico said the state is moving toward another challenging budget cycle. One of the primary issues they must address will be conforming to federal law and tax changes made under H.R. 1, the Big Beautiful Bill, Carrico said. If the legislature conforms with all of the tax changes, the state is estimating a general fund impact of $438 million and an estimated reduction of shared revenue to Glendale of over $3 million. With that as a baseline, it will be more important than ever that we are avoiding any future sweeps or reductions in local revenues. Vice Mayor Lauren Tolmachoff asked about the financial impact of the incorporation of Santan Valley, referring to it as essentially a new city. Carrico said that while the numbers are not final, the resulting projected additional loss to shared revenue for Glendale is just under $1 million. In the face of those hurdles, the 2026 legislative agenda focuses on various guiding principles, which were approved by the City Council: protecting local decision-making and pursuing local funding, safeguarding neighborhoods and quality of life, promoting economic development and prosperity, sustaining the mission of Luke Air Force Base, preserving and enhancing the water supply, and collaborating to build a robust transportation network. With the loss of residential rental tax, the director said, various cities and mayors across the state negotiated a deal on food tax in 2025, giving voters the opportunity to decide in November of 2026 whether to freeze food tax rates and additionally require any increase up to 2% to be approved by the local jurisdiction's voters. In answering a question from Mayor Jerry Wires, Carrico said that at present, the issue would be presented as one ballot question rather than two. All existing food taxes would be frozen at their current rates, even if they're over 2%, the director said. But anyone under 2% could take a vote to their people to get up to 2%. Wires expressed concerns regarding the constitutionality of packing three different things into a singular ballot question. Some of the topics of legislative interest that Carrico highlighted are continued exploration of by-right zoning, efforts to eliminate design review, and exempt historic areas from the middle housing requirement. In response to those concerns, Carrico said the city will continue support for ongoing reform related to sober living home regulation and oversight, which includes accountability frameworks for service providers. Such frameworks, Carrico said, are intended to result in balanced and enforceable solutions that respect local authority, ensure provider accountability, and protect vulnerable individuals while maintaining community safety. Additionally, the director noted that an additional matter of importance pertains to data centers and statewide tax incentives, which follow an executive order from President Donald Trump in July, accelerating federal permitting of infrastructure for data centers. During the 2025 session, 1,854 bills were introduced, 265 were signed into law, and 174 were vetoed, all across 166 days. Carrico said that the top policy issues raised this year were protecting local revenue, housing and zoning reform, and sober living homes. "We are very grateful to our legislative leaders for coming to the table to negotiate a fair compromise without automatically cutting city revenue or services," Carrico said. According to the director, the city of Glendale has been and will continue to be a leader in community engagement in the coming year, noting the community newsletter, neighborhood action alerts, and other website resources as valuable assets. Through some of the resources listed on this slide and the strategic engagement of council, we will continue to identify ways to improve and enhance the leadership and image of the city at the state and federal level, Carrico said. "I want to thank you for your continued support and leadership. Your reputations and relationships help us to ensure the continued success of the city." And this is all the time we have for the article, "Arizona Moves Toward Challenging Budget Cycle." Our next article, "Council Approves Rezoning for Apartments Near Cibola Vista." Article by Joe McHugh, Peoria Times editorial supervisor. The Peoria City Council unanimously approved a proposal to build a gated 322-unit apartment complex near Cibola Vista at its recent Peoria City Council meeting. A hotly contested meeting, filled with a rowdy crowd from the Save Peoria advocacy group, the meeting spiraled out of decorum shortly after public comment. "If I would have been the one to be on the fence tonight, I'll tell you, some of the behavior has made me not be on the fence," Councilmember Danette Dunn said. The presentation itself considered two related requests affecting a 17-acre triangular parcel south of the resort: a general plan amendment changing the site's long-term land use designation, and a rezoning request that would replace existing resort commercial entitlements with multifamily residential zoning and tailored development standards. City Planning Director Chris Jacques opened the presentation by noting the level of public engagement surrounding the case. "I know there's a lot of interest in this case. That's evidenced by the number of people in the room," he said. He added that the application had already undergone a very lengthy planning and zoning commission meeting. Under the property's current zoning, established in 2005, the site allows resort commercial uses, including timeshares and a wide range of C2 commercial development. He emphasized that those rights remain in place today. "Somebody could come in today with a site plan for a timeshare or commercial, and our task at the city would be to verify that they meet the established requirements. If they do, we have an obligation to approve that site plan." The proposed rezoning would remove those commercial and timeshare rights and replace them with multifamily zoning that limits building height, increases setbacks, and locks in specific design standards. The landowner is seeking to forfeit rights for future commercial or future timeshare in favor of a multifamily community with tailored standards, Jacques said. The development would include mostly 1- and 2-bedroom units in 2-, 3-, and 4-story buildings. 4-story buildings would be concentrated near Pinnacle Vista Drive, while 2-story villas would be placed farther from existing homes. According to staff, separation distances would exceed what is required under current zoning, including more than 500 feet between 3-story buildings and custom homes to the south. The proposal aligns with Peoria's general plan goals by diversifying housing options and providing a transition between single-family neighborhoods and future employment and commercial uses along Lake Pleasant Parkway. This land use category serves as a good transition between single-family communities to the east and more intense land uses that are expected at Lake Pleasant Parkway, he said. Traffic, water, and sewer analysis found sufficient capacity to support the project. Regardless of whether the site is developed with apartments, timeshare, or commercial uses, he said, there is sufficient capacity in Pinnacle Vista to support the additional trips. The proposal drew both support and opposition from residents. City staff reported receiving letters or emails from 179 individuals supporting the project and 286 opposing it, along with an online petition containing more than 1,500 signatures. Concerns raised include building height, traffic, school capacity, privacy, crime, and infrastructure strain. Some issues, such as perceived impacts on property values or resident income levels, fall outside the city's legal purview. The applicant hosted three neighborhood meetings over the past year, with attendance declining over time. Staff said the site plan was revised multiple times in response to feedback. Vice Mayor Jennifer Crawford asked whether the current zoning would allow four-story timeshares without public review. Jacques confirmed it would. Four-story timeshares or commercial are permitted outright, he said. Questions were also raised about tax revenue. City staff clarified that while apartments do not generate bed taxes, the undeveloped land currently generates no sales tax at all. And this is all the time we have for the article. Council approves rezoning for apartments near Cibola Vista. Next article is Can We Hold Off Dementia? Written by Mia Smith, Peoria Times columnist. There have been numerous ideas as to how we might prevent mental deterioration. As we live longer, our chances of developing dementia are greater than in previous generations. A study published in Nature Medicine January 13th found that an estimated 500,000 people may be diagnosed with some sort of dementia this year, with that number reaching 1 million cases every year by 2060. That is a lot of cognitive decline. Perhaps there are ways we can preserve our cognitive function by reducing the preventable risks. As we age, we are more prone to such chronic illnesses such as diabetes and hypertension, which contribute to the onset of cognitive decline. Meredith Bach, MD, is a neurologist with the University of California, San Francisco, and the medical director of Remo Health, an online dementia care company based in San Francisco. We estimate that about 40% of cases of dementia are preventable through lifestyle and other factors, she said. There's certainly a benefit to lifestyle interventions, both reducing the time of onset of dementia or potentially getting it all. Word and numbers games might slow cognitive decline, and we know that physical exercise has a strong impact. But what else might help? Another neurologist offered an interesting insight. Gabriel Legger, MD, at the University of California, San Diego Health, suggests getting off the chair and computer screen and walk to colleagues' offices to communicate rather than texts or emails. If I'm not with patients, I'm more likely to stand up and go across the building to speak to somebody instead of sending an email, just because it gets me off the chair and makes me more active, he said. He referenced a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, September 12, 2023, showing that more time spent in sedentary behaviors was significantly associated with a higher level of dementia. Our bodies weren't designed to be still for prolonged periods, continued Dr. Legger. The social connections involved in face-to-face encounters also enhance our cognition. When you have a typical conversation, there are a lot of different cognitive domains you may be drawing on: comprehending language, speaking, following a story, and a lot of behavioral aspects, socio-emotional cues that you are picking up and responding to. Social interactions are also just really good for mood, which is also closely related to cognition. Committing to caring for pets is good for the brain. Taking dogs out for walks has a threefold benefit in that it offers physical exercise, enhances the relationship and bond with the dog, and offers opportunities to interact with other people, both other dog walkers and others who may stop and admire the dog. Having pets forces responsibility for another being. Feeding, grooming, exercising, and vaccinating reinforces a sense of purpose, all of which can help to protect cognitive function. Dr. Leger also recommends an organic diet and avoiding highly processed foods. I believe that pesticides, herbicides, and highly processed foods are associated with elements that can stress the brain that can increase the risk of dementia. Eating organic is not always possible, practical, or affordable, so thoroughly washing vegetables and fruit before eating them is always important. We can easily incorporate the useful and realistic advice from dementia specialists. Diet, exercise, and social connections, along with our word puzzles, may help to keep our brains healthy and active. Maybe we can prevent cognitive decline or lessen its severity and postpone or avert a dementia diagnosis. And that's all the time we have for the article, Can We Hold Off Dementia? Well, that is all the time we have today. Thank you for joining me for the West Valley News Digest. Remember, you can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. I'm Karen Kelly, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer. Please stay tuned for more great programming on Sun Sounds of Arizona.